Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I want to just continue on where we started last week in this whole concept of growing. You know, right from Genesis chapter 1, God had a plan for growing things. From changing something of a substance that was not into a substance that was something that gave him pleasure. Now you think about it. The Bible says that in the beginning, the earth was void, dark, shapeless. Within a 7-day period, the whole of planet Earth has changed in its image. There is light. There's more than just light. There's night light and there's day light. There's stars, there's moon, there's suns, there's trees growing, there's plants growing, there's rivers flowing, there's oceans, there's birds in the air and animals eating the grass on the ground, there's fish in the sea. An amazing God who's got this concept of growth. And it doesn't stop when you and I are born. You know, we grow inside our mother's womb. It's too deep this morning. We're born. Praise God. It'd be an awful place to grow and grow and grow, wouldn't it? Imagine how your mother would have felt. Goodness. 6'2" and still growing. But God's plan, you see, is about growth. It's about starting with nothing and making it into a something. And so you were born, this beautiful little baby, and all the nurses said, "Oh, isn't he gorgeous? Isn't she beautiful?" And newborn babies scare me. They just don't look beautiful. I'm sorry. There's something about a mother's love for a newborn baby that I just don't get. And mine were different, of course. But they didn't stay small. You didn't stay small. Imagine Mari sitting in her mum's arms now. She's trying to read the word and she's just rocking Mari back and forth. There, there. There, there. And on top of her is sitting Mel. And Mari's going, there, there. There, there. And on top of her sitting Parker. Yeah. As dumb as it sounds, sometimes in our Christian walk, that's where we want to stay. In the arms of Jesus, with Jesus going, there, 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 it'll be all right. God's plan when Jesus came into your life is that you would grow. That you would change from the inside out. That something would develop in you that was unstoppable. And we sit there in church and go, "Isn't this great to be in the house of God again?" And we go out there and we just do life. It's nothing like the life that God sent His Son Jesus to die for. He didn't die for the church. He died for the whole of humanity, that none should perish. And you and I have come to Christ. You and I have had our lives changed forever. The day we surrendered our life to the Lord, we made a change on the inside. And so I just want to continue this morning in this message, as I said, that we started off last week and it's going to go on and on, because this growing thing is about kingdom. It's about individuals. It's about couples. It's about families. It's about larger family units. It's about the house of God, God's people. It's about the kingdom growing and expanding. You think about general growth. I had these beautiful 2 sunflower seeds come up right at the edge of one of my bird aviary doors. Right on the very edge that you open. Got about this high and I'm thinking, sunflowers. They normally get about this high. Flower heads on them like this. Shall I pull them out? Nah, I'm just going to leave them. Pastor Robin said to me the other day, she said, "What are you going to do with those weeds growing by your bird aviary door?" I said, well, they're not weeds, they're sunflowers, and when they grow, I'll take the flower heads into the birds and they'll have a field day. Well, the other day we had some pretty strong winds, and a few of the plants in our garden ended up like that. Probably some of yours did. Others ended up just all shriveled up and looking pretty horrible. There's these two sunflowers, bent about this far off the ground, bent. Next morning, up goes their head. They're still bent, they're still sitting this high off the ground, but the head is pointed towards the sun. And instead of growing into my doorway, they're now growing away from my doorway, but they're looking towards the sun. I'm going to have sunflowers, instead of being this tall, they're going to be this wide. But they're growing. But they're growing. And you look at life, it's about growing. You just don't go into your garden, plant a seed, and instantly put your hand back into the hole and pull out a watermelon or a carrot or a tomato. You don't immediately put the bull in with the cows and next day there's a nice little lump of T-bone steaks and rump steaks sitting there waiting for you to put in the freezer. You think about your own physical body. Those cute little baby clothes that you once wore. I hope you've all got them neatly stacked in your drawer, ready to wear tomorrow to work. But we're in the process of growing. And it's something about God's plan for his people that he wants to grow us continually. What does he want to grow us for? He wants us to be like him. Growing more Christ-like every day. Have you had a setback this year yet? I hopped on the scales on January 2. I had a setback. But I'm on the road to recovery again. They don't say warning, warning, warning anymore. They don't say we only want one person on here. Wasn't that bad. But you see, we can grow and increase in our walk with God, or we can grow and decrease in our walk with God. You can grow cold with the things of God and grow away from God, or you can grow hot in the things of God and grow closer to him. You can grow up spiritually, or you can be pulled down spiritually by your relationship with God. And so we kicked off this scripture last week and we all read it together, and I'd like us to read it again if we can. Remember, we paused at the commas. We didn't rush through it. It's not one of those scriptures I just want to rush through and say, that's a great scripture. Because there was so much in this that I actually spent time looking at this scripture. So let's read it together. Ready? Read. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brothers, the first word we looked at last week was be steadfast. We looked at the fact that even though the church in Corinth had given Paul a hard time, he still related to them as his beloved brothers. You know, that's a hard call sometimes. Say my beloved brother through gritted teeth and try and smile at the same time. When a brother, when a sister in the Lord upsets you, crosses your path, offends you, they're still your beloved brother, whether you want that or not. We talked about being able to stand firm. To stand firm. Stand firm on God's word. Stand firm on God's promises for you. No good someone else trying to tell you what God's word is for you. You've got to believe it in your heart. Amen? I can tell you today that Jesus is Lord. And a few of you nodded your heads. But I could go out there within an hour and say Jesus is Lord. I could get cursed. I could have a whole lot of expletives said back to me. I could have people punch my lights out. I could have people walk away from me. Because what I declare, more importantly, is for me and my belief to stand firm on long before I try and put that onto someone else. The second point he says in here is be steadfast, be immovable. And I want to look at this word stubbornly faithful. Let me read the same passage out of the Amplified for you. It says this: therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. Being stubbornly faithful is that word immovable. Maintaining a balance when a lot of trouble seems to be coming your way. You know, I talked about setbacks in 2017. Setbacks seem so huge at the time, but sometimes when we look back, they're so minute and pathetic, it's a wonder why we even gave them the time of day. But just as God is faithful to us, we need to remain stubbornly faithful to his promises over us. Amen? How easily do we get shaken by misunderstandings? When the tides of culture seem to be working against Christian faith? How easily we compromise and bow down to the things of this world around us? Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that by it you may grow into salvation. You know you won't grow if you don't know God's word? You won't grow. Those same scriptures that you keep reading and reciting and remembering will not be revelation. You'll be just like a parrot repeating stuff unless you get into God's word and grow yourself and become integrated with God's word in your life. It's a bit like Dawn mentioned earlier. She had a word from the Lord, but the word was put to use during the week when Dawn wasn't expecting it to work during the week. She thought it was for the church here on Sunday, and it may have been. But the word works when you work the word. And by working the word, I mean getting yourself integrated with the word, getting that word integrated with you. And you know, if you're not reading the word regularly, you can't expect to grow spiritually. Very quiet. How many of you ever read the Bible through, right through? I think I asked this question last year. Only three times, and you're 26 years of age. Gee, that's not a good average, Dave. I've committed to read the Bible in a year again this year, because I want to get through the whole word and the whole word through me. You know, there's a reading plan, read the word in a year, in the Copeland magazine. If you've got the Bible app on your phone or your tablet, there's many read the Bible in a year applications. But can I encourage us all in the church, just don't pick little scriptures, little favourite devotional things, but actually commit to read the Bible, the whole Word of God, in a year. This is what I'm doing in 2017. I choose a book of the Bible, right? Make a note of it for the month of January. I read it entirely, read it through over a matter of days or whatever it takes. And over the next days of the month, I read it another 19 times. So my commitment for a month is to read a book of the Bible 20 times in a month. And I'm going to repeat that for every book of the Bible until I've read every book of the Bible 20 times. It's going to take me more than a year, but I'm going to make sure that book of the Bible gets into my heart. I'm working on the book of Mark at the moment. Some wonderful things in the book of Mark. So many miracles of Jesus. But I want God to make me fruitful this year, not a fanatic. I want His Word to be so real in me that I am growing on His Word and in faith in Him every day of the year for 2017 and beyond. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said this, and I quote, "The way to do a great deal is to keep on doing a little. The way to do nothing at all is to be continually resolving that you will do everything." Can I repeat that? The way to do a great deal is to keep on doing a little. In other words, how do you eat an elephant? One mouthful at a time. He didn't say that, I did. The way to do nothing at all is to be continually resolving that you'll do everything. You know, Pastor Robin's a list girl. She has a pad and pencil on the kitchen bench, and as she thinks of a job to do, she'll write it down. And at the end of the day, there'll be lines through certain stuff, there'll be question marks next to some stuff, there'll be stuff she'll go, "Oh, I could have done that. I'll do it tomorrow." So a fresh list starts off. She hasn't done everything, but she's done a lot of the little things. And that's the same with our growing in God. I've also started reading a book called Do More, Better. Pastor Robin will like that when I'm finished it. And it's a book on practical productivity by a guy named Tim Chellies. Do more, better. This is one of the quotes I read the other day. "Productivity is not what will bring purpose to your life, but what will enable you to excel in living out your existing purpose. You are not the point of your life. You are not the star of your show. If you live for yourself, your own comfort, your own glory, your own fame, you will miss out on every purpose designed for you. God created you to bring glory to Him." It's a long sentence, go on. And he defines productivity like this. "Productivity is effectively stewarding my gifts, my talents, my time, my energy, my enthusiasm for the good of others and for the glory of God." It's not about, you know, filling up the bank book with money. It's not about all the accolades and all the titles and all the claim to fame in this world. It's about doing what God's called us to do, and we need to be faithful in this. This is why I think we need to be steadfast, immovable. Colossians 1 and verse 23 says this, "If indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast." That's a good combination. Stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. How many of you read the Word of God before you check your emails or your text messages or a Facebook page? Don't need a show of hands. How easily we caught up with the world's to-do list before we get caught up with God's to-do list. Amen? I'm like you. I'm a busy person. I have things that I need to check off before I even pour my first cup of coffee. I want to make sure that I start off my day right, by knowing that I've connected with God and opened my day up for Him to deal with me wisely. Amen? So their first two points were they're standing firmly in the gospel and being stubbornly faithful. The next one I've put in here and out of the scripture is number three, sacrifice fully. The Bible says here in our passage, "Sometimes, most times, almost always, abounding in the work of the Lord." Just always. Just always. I know what you're saying. But that's what it says. Doesn't say the word sometimes. Doesn't say if you feel like it. Doesn't say if the weather's right, or the conditions are just right, or you're in the right company. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always means at all times, perpetually, and continually. You don't need a lesson in English, do you? Always means always. Always abounding. I love that word, abounding, you know? Are you abounding in your joy of the Lord this morning? Yes, Pastor Lou. That's a bit better response. We should be abounding. It's a great, great word. It means to go over the top, to serve in excess. It's the idea of exceeding the requirements, just like a river overflowing flood banks. Abounding. Are you abounding this morning, or are you bound? Interesting. Are you abounding, or are you bound? Yeah. It takes effort, though, and it takes a choice. Oh, I'm so tired. You know, that horrid weather just really knocked me out yesterday. Yes, it may have, but that was yesterday. Praise God, we live on the south coast, and the breeze comes through, and it refreshes our homes during the night, and we wake up to a cool home in a cool environment with a breeze blowing. I didn't live in Adelaide where you wake up to that beaming sun, bricks holding their heat. So we should be abounding. Hallelujah. I'm on the way to church this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this weather. Amen. I hope you're abounding this week. I hope you're like a river overflowing the flood bank. I hope you realize that, boy, that word abounding really struck a chord in my spirit. And if it hasn't, I pray that God gives you a tap on the shoulder and says, abound. Abound. Amen. Got your Bibles open at the 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. And it says here, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. May the Lord, wrong reference. Oh, Pastor Lou, what have you done? Checked those scriptures last night, I'm sure I did. Okay. I shall find that out and recorrect it on the webpage. What's it like to abound? Let's move on. I'll check that in a minute. What's it mean to abound? It actually means to serve not only as much as we can, but as often as we can, for as long as we can, and then serve some more. In my busy life, really? I heard your words. You think about it. The Lord wants us to abound so that we can serve as much as we can, as often as we can, for as long as we can, and then serve some more. How many of you made New Year's resolutions for 2017? How many of you have broken them already? You know, the most common New Year's resolution for Australians, recent research, number 3 under health is a better relationship with God. Better health ranks as number 1. Better relationship with God rates in those surveyed as number 3. And for many people, faith in God outranked personal health. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, and all these other things, including health, were given unto you. Amen? I mentioned last week, Jonathan Edwards, great, great evangelist, 70 resolutions that he wrote out in his time. And I read them every year. What a profound thing he shared. Here's the first six of them. He resolved that I will do all I think or say to the glory of God, and not to take into consideration my own comfort, profit, or pleasure. He resolved that. Number two, he resolved if ever I should fall and grow dull, as to neglect to keep any of these resolutions, I shall repent when I come to my senses again. You know, you listen to some people's New Year's resolutions, they're so fickle, they're so for themselves, they're so short-lived. And I'm not being rude here, but the depth of Jonathan Edwards. Number three, resolve never to do any manner of thing, whether in spirit or body, less or more, but what tends to the glory of God. Number four, resolve to live with all my might while I do live. Wow. Come on, sleepyheads. Resolve to live with all my might. Sounds like a John 10:10b, doesn't it? Live and enjoy life in abundance to the full, till it overflows. To live with all my might while I do live. How many would like that as a resolution that you have on your mirror, on your fridge, on your car dashboard, so that everything you do, you're living it with all your might? Number five, resolve never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Number six, and I tell you, this is only the beginning. Resolve to study the scriptures so steadily, so constantly, and so frequently as that I might find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. Study the scriptures steadily, constantly, frequently, and grow in the knowledge of those scriptures. Martin Luther had a resolve. This was his resolve. He resolved that every man should live to the glory of God. And he resolved, second, that whether others do this or not, I will. Pretty profound, isn't it? Every man should live to the glory of God. Isn't that the heart of God? We were created to worship. That's the sole purpose, to worship the Lord. And out of that worship, your love for God and your love for people grows. Yes. As your love for God grows, your love for others should be growing exponentially as well. But if others don't understand the glory of God like you do, should that stifle your growth? Should that pull you backwards? Should that send you back to your old way of living? Luther resolved that whether others do this or not, he said, I will. He talked in this scripture about in the work of the Lord. In the work of the Lord. You know, we're called to work. Jeremiah 48 and verse 10, and I did check this scripture. Cursed. Everyone say it? Cursed. You know what that word means? Out of favor. Big time. Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord with slackness. Wow. There's a challenge for 2017. Henry Blackaby, great Christian leader, writer, wrote this. instead of just asking God to bless what you're doing, find out where God is at work and join Him there. Bless me, Lord. Bless me because I'm doing this. And the Lord said, well, I didn't want you doing that. I wanted you doing this. There, right back in Jeremiah. Cursed. Cursed. You read it. Five versions of the Bible, I looked it up and that started off. That verse, cursed is he who does the work of the Lord with slackness. Without diligence. Wow. Romans 12 and verse 11 says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Do not be slothful in your zeal. Half-hearted Christians. I really believe, friends, that God does not want this church to be filled with half-hearted Christians. It might sound like I'm being hard. I'm being hard on me because this is what the Lord's saying for us. Half an effort for the Lord is exactly that. It's half an effort for the Lord. It's 50% less than what we should be doing. Be fervent in spirit. If your spirit's for the Lord, then you'll be full of zeal. You'll be full of energy. You'll be full of enthusiasm. You'll be wanting to serve the Lord. Wherever you are, be all there. Amen? I know it's tennis season. I know it's cricket season. I know it's January and it's hot and it's school holidays and all that. But did that stop Jesus? He probably had Foxtel on his smartphone anyway and he'd check the scores regularly. But he never gave up on doing the Father's work and he took others along on the journey so that they would learn also. Amen? Verse here ends with a promise. Knowing. When you know something, you really know it, don't you? You ever tried to do something and didn't quite work out and you did that mail thing and you went to the instruction book? Last resort. Oh yeah, I should have done that. Or you just simply mutter your way through it for a while and suddenly it drops into place and you go, I should have known that. This is a powerful scripture and it's a powerful way of Paul encouraging the church, not just in Corinth, but in Victor Harbour, South Australia. It's to be sure of something, but more than just sure of it. It's about knowing something beyond a shadow of a doubt. When you know that you know that you know. As Pastor Murray used to say, our previous senior pastor, knowing in your knower. It's in your heart. I know that Jesus is Lord. I know that God still heals today. I know that God is my provider. I know that God is my strength. I know that God is my wisdom. I know that He's my source of knowledge. It's the same sort of thing. Knowing. That in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. One of our little granddaughters came to me the other day with a little container of goop. You know, silly putty. She said, Grandpa, Grandpa, I've hidden something inside for you. And some of that goop I just like to leave in the container. Because once it gets out, it goes everywhere and you can't clean it up. But I went along. And I found this tiniest little thing. I said, I found it! You know, and you abound in your joy. She says, but there's more, Grandpa. There's more in there. And it's only a tiny little container. I said, okay, I'll go looking. Oh, I found the other one. She goes, no, Grandpa, there's more. As I'm thinking about that last night, as I'm preparing for the message, the two thoughts come together. God's word is just like that. There's always more. This tiny little container had four surprises in it. I was waiting for her to say, but Grandpa, there's more. But you're working for the Lord. It says here, knowing that in the Lord, your trophies, your awards, your certificates of appreciation are not in the world. They're in the Lord. They're not going unnoticed. Nobody on planet Earth may know what you're doing for the Lord, but the Lord knows who's more important. I didn't get nominated for a Golden Globe Award, Logie Award, Best Preacher on the Planet Award. I didn't even get nominated for Citizen of the Year Award. But I know that what I do under the Lord sits with Him. That's my reward. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, oh dear Lord." That was my attitude. The great Apostle Paul, in toil and hardship. Just imagine nominating for a Logie, Emmy, Golden Globe Award. Through many sleepless nights, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. What was his point? Didn't matter. Whatever I was doing to the Lord, and in Him I'm pleased. And me, in me, He is pleased. I really believe this house has got a call on it to serve. Not to serve one another, we've been good at that, but begin more and more to serve our community. Knowing that what we're doing, the labor we do, is not in vain. For your own home to be a mission field, for your own place of business to be a mission field, to your neighborhood, to your community, to make a difference. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 7 says, "But you take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." You know, that word vain is an interesting word. It simply means empty, aimless, and hollow. Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not empty, aimless, and hollow. Solomon used that same word vain 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. One of the saddest things I see in my community is where people just give themselves into something that's empty, aimless, without really bearing fruit, empty. But like my sunflowers, if you keep your face pointed towards the sun, S-O-N, if you live your life in full submission to Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit, your life, friend, is rewarding, it's fulfilling, it's fruitful, and the Word promises you'll never be in vain. I'll finish off with this thought. I want to applaud you as you apply this scripture to your week. Started off last week by explaining I shared this passage with the local ministers group. I asked them which church they belonged to, and I got that myriad of answers, which I replied were all from one church. I asked them to turn to the person next to them and read this verse as a blessing to the minister, to the pastor, the priest next to them. I asked them to share this personally. So if you can imagine it, I'm sitting next to Pastor Chad Mansbridge as my example. And I say to him, "My beloved Chad." That'd get an Australian mail going, wouldn't it? "Be steadfast. Be immovable. always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing the Lord, your labor is not in vain. It was quite funny, really, because a lot of the team struggled with the idea of turning to another person and saying, my beloved Chad, my beloved Carol, my beloved whoever it was. I heard a lot of my beloved friend, my beloved minister in a friend in ministry. But I didn't hear too many beloved Chads and beloved Grahams and beloved Tonys. But I want you to do it right now. I want you to turn the person next to you. I want you to speak this scripture over them and name them. It's going to be easy for the husbands and wives. But I'm going to do it with my beloved. I want you to find someone right now. Get ready to read this scripture over them as an encouragement for 2017. The title of this message, remember, was The Practice of Growing. You're putting this scripture into practice right now as you grow in your confidence. Thomas is going to do a runner on me. Can I come and stand with you? Are you ready? Have you got someone to sit with? Have you got someone to speak this promise over? Just wait a minute. We've got a quiet one sitting here. Pastor Rob, would you mind going with Glenice? Michael up the back there. He's coming back boldly. Are you right there, Mel? You're going to go with Grandma? Anyone alone? You're going to do it as a threesome? You're doing it with Josh? You're going to call him my beloved Josh? I'll call him my beloved Josh. He's a champion. Are we ready? Are we bold? Hallelujah. All right, you ready? One, two, read. Therefore, my beloved Josh, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Whoa, well done. Give yourselves a clap. Well done. Awesome. You did that really well. You did it better than the minister's group. Okay. Next week I want to talk a little bit more about growth. I really believe this church is on a season of growth. Spiritually, numerically, but also outwardly. I really believe we've got a call on this house. It's going to stretch us. It's going to call us to walk by faith and not by sight. And in February, I hope to expound a few more of those thoughts with you about what I believe God specifically has called us to do. Amen.